tonight. We're going to read from the Bible. If you want to come back. Like Neil said, we're going to be looking at Psalm 34 for those that want to follow along. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him.
Good morning, everyone. It's a great privilege to turn to God's Word together again and to kind of explore what God may have to say to us. You know, I've been in ministry now for nearly over 48 years and many more years of living. But one of the things during that time I've come to understand is that in life, everybody's hurting. Everybody lives with pain of one kind or another in their lives. Everyone's wounded or battered or at some point in their life, and maybe experiences of betrayal, of deception or abandonment. For some, it's a childhood memory that no matter how many years go by, it keeps roadblocking life and roadblocking our relationships. For some, it was abuse that came in words, that came in emotional or physical abuse or even some unspeakable sexual acts. For some, it's been the marriage breakdown that you or your parents, or your children are going through. It's very easy to make us disillusioned. And when we're going through a time of intense pain or woundedness, whether it be physically, emotionally, or relationally, or spiritually, We need a God who is greater than our hurt. We need God to be a healer. Now, I know I've not personally have experienced the depth of pain or heartache that some of you here have experienced. But I do know what it's like to lose a sister when quite young. And for Judy's dad to die just weeks after we were married, after not giving us permission to get married. Our daughter unable to bear children. Judy's five siblings all been divorced. And some of mine too. And in my early years of ministry, knowing the loneliness of leadership. More so over the years, I've shared in the grief and the pain of many others. I've walked alongside numerous Indigenous people who were forcibly removed from their families at 2 and 3 years of age. I've listened to survivors of child sexual abuse, sometimes even within the church. I've sat with numerous traumatized asylum seekers who we took into our home, like our daughter Hillary, who have been tortured and wounded. Others who have lost loved ones, especially children. Those permanently injured through accidents, marriage breakups, estranged family relationships, and I could go on. And I've also shared in the heartaches and the pain of some church life, where there has been significant breakdown in relationships, conflict between pastors and leaders or congregations, or when churches have lost their way. And at times, as faith communities, we together go through shared periods or seasons of heartache and of brokenness, of pain, of resentment and grief. And even in our recent history night, there was a number of you participated in. Amongst the many good and the positive comments that were made, there was some amongst that mentions the times of sadness and grief as a community. Of disappointment, of confusion over pastors and others leaving, and so on. And to be honest with you, there have been times when I've wondered when during going through some of those deepest, darkest valleys of life, I wonder whether God can make a way forward for me or for others. Could he be greater than my or our hurt and my pain? Could the God who made the world make a way in our world? Friends, at times I've underestimated God. Because all these years later, I can stand before you as one who knows firsthand that we have a God who heals. A God who is greater than our hurt. A God who heals the wounded, the broken, the afflicted, pain-filled people like we can be at one time or another. And Psalm 34 and verse 18 is a verse that I love in Scripture, which says that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter wrote of Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness by his wounds. By his wounds, you have been healed. In the Old Testament, God is referred to by three names relating to Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, we most are familiar with because of the song, which means that God will provide. Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord is our banner, mighty warrior, or victory. But sometimes he's also known as Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals, or the Lord who restores. We see it in Exodus 15:26 when he changes the bitter water into sweet water so that they can drink. Further references in the Psalms, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah and Hosea. Now I'm in a stage in my life at the moment where I'm personally very much in love. I'm joyful, I'm fulfilled in my life, I'm delighting in my marriage, in our children and grandchildren. We're expecting number 13 this week. And though there are sadnesses and regrets over mistakes I've made, it's hard now to remember just how dark and painful life has been on occasion. There's something about God's mercies in that sometimes God gives us a sense of forgetfulness about how hard and how dark some of the tough times have been. His mercy is just so good that way. And so I want to share today, this morning, some of the lessons I've learned from the scriptures, from my own experience, and also from the experience of others. Lessons that may be helpful for all of us as we deal with the pain and the hurt that we sometimes carry with us, or maybe others that we know who are carrying it. People who are going through a season of brokenness, of hurt or resentment or relationship breakdown right now. And where you wonder whether God can make a way. Times when you wonder if God can heal me. You wonder if God can be greater than your hurt and your pain. And it includes the past pain and hurt that some of you have gone through here in this faith community at CBC. Or some of you have gone through in other churches that you've been previously part of. One of the big things I've learned is this. Don't pull out of life. Don't withdraw from life. When we're hurt, the first impulse for many of us is to pull back into a shell so that we don't risk getting hurt anymore. But friends, love by its very nature involves risk, a risk to be hurt. But by withdrawing from love, we risk even more. There's a danger that we go into isolation and we pull away from relationships. We especially see this in Genesis 3 and verse 8 when Adam and Eve go and hide from God in the garden after they've disobeyed God. Jonah was the one who tried to withdraw from life. Elijah sat under the tree when things hadn't worked out as he hoped because he thought he was alone and he wanted to die. Yet God had so much more for every one of them to do. When Judy and I moved to Broken Hill following college, I was pastoring two churches at the same time. We left our family and friends and colleagues who were 1,200 kilometres away. The nearest Baptist pastor in New South Wales was over 700 kilometres away. Our second daughter was born not long after we'd got there by emergency cesarean. I was trying to understand ministry in a very different context than what I'd known before, and Judy and I had to renegotiate our marriage and how we wanted it to look like. Our 7 years there were the longest I'd lived anywhere in my life up until that time. And one of the realizations I had to come to grips with is that for a number of years in my life as a male, as a follower of Jesus, as a pastor, I had been a solo sapien. I knew lots of people. Lots of people would have considered me as one of their friends. Lots of good times with people. But there were very few people, other than Judy, who really knew me intimately. Because I didn't let people get near me. I kept them at a distance. I didn't let them inside because I was afraid of what they might see. And sadly, I think that's typical of many of us men. It's how many of us are wired. But you know, one of the greatest malices of our day in our society today is that of loneliness. Of being alone. Particularly when we're going through times of pain and suffering. For me, that changed at a time when I opened myself up to community and to vulnerability. I was invited into and I became part of a pastor's renewal retreat group, a group to which I was not only became accountable, but to whom I could share the load. Being available at a time to chat and to be there if necessary. And I decided to take a risk and make myself vulnerable to fellow travellers. Now, I've made enough bad decisions in my life, but that was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. Meeting and opening our lives to each other, starting to do life together, starting to encourage each other. And in that circle, I found uncommon wisdom, complete confidentiality, and unconditional love for which I will be forever grateful. And that is why small groups and retreat groups and so forth, where we share life, is just so important. And I encourage every one of us to be part of a group of fellow travellers like that. A place where we can be honest and transparent and vulnerable, where we find not judgment, but we find support, where we find genuine, real fellowship and community. And over the years, God has brought different people through different areas in my life, and my relational world has become so much richer and so much deeper than it once was. And I have more deeper, honest relationships today than I've ever had, and it took brokenness for me to be open to that. And I believe it has made me a better husband, a better father, and a better pastor. Don't pull out of life. Something else I learned, something about Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, helped me to do. And that is disinfect the wound. See, when we get hurt, but particularly by somebody else, our natural tendency is to want to hurt back. We hold on to hurts. When you hold on to hurts, they develop into self-destructive, toxic diseases of bitterness and resentment and hate. So how do we deal with that? Well, you learn by practicing forgiveness. You know, Ephesians 4 says, get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, bawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, let me say that forgiveness is not, it's something that needs continual practice. It does take time. Now, that doesn't exempt people from having to face the consequences for the pain and the hurt and the distress they might have caused. Justice still needs to be carried out. But pray for those who brought you that hurt and that harm. Will it bring change to their life? Maybe. But it'll bring a wonderful change to your life. Because it'll bring back joy. It'll bring back freedom. It'll bring back peace. And to be released from all the toxicity that builds in our souls. And take it from someone who knows firsthand that if you hold on to hurt, it can turn to hate. And it is so destructive to you and relationships that you're in now. Because too often hurting people unintentionally hurt other people. But if we'll forgive, if we'll love our enemies, internally, there will be peace and joy and freedom to disinfect the wound. Here's another lesson that I've learned. Allow God to work in you during this time. You know, brokenness tends to be one of the greatest schools of higher education that you will ever attend. We learn things when we're in pain that we don't learn any other way. And it's only through personal brokenness that I've learned that when you lose everything else that is important to you, but when you still have Jesus Christ, you have enough. I've learned the importance of balance in my life. I've learned the importance of truth-telling in relationships, even at the expense of pain and facing up to yucky things about myself. And I think one of the greatest things that God gave me through this time has been a sensitivity for people who are crushed by their own experience of brokenness in their lives. Sensitivity to so many lonely people. So many hurting people. And I've learned that through personal pain. So learn all you can. And one last lesson. When you're going through pain, allow God to work through you. Some of us have the sense that when we're going through a difficult time that God isn't able to use us at all. As if he kind of puts us on the shelf. But when we're weak, when we're crushed, when we're broken, that is when God is able to use us in a great way. Because it becomes so clear to people to see God's power in the midst of our weakness. It isn't of us, but it is him who uses us despite our weaknesses. As I mentioned last week, I've learned what Paul meant when he talked about his own personal crisis that crushed him. When three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him, but instead God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." I've learned that God can even use me, even energize me, even when I'm down and weak. And if he can do it through me, he can do it through anyone. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 1 about comforting others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. And I know I want to use my life extending to others the healing that I've received from God, the one who is greater than my hurts. Because I know that it is only because of the amazing grace of God that I'm standing here today. And I hope it has made a different me in a different kind of pastor. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, continues his work in us and through us. Some of you will be old enough to remember that old simple song that says, "God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way." And you know what? He does. He does. God is greater than our hurt. Over and over again in the Bible, God is described as greater than. And so before I close, I'm going to read a series of scriptures that talk about God being greater than. And I want you to join with me in repeating those two words, greater than, with conviction when we go through those passages. So just to practice that first, together with me say, greater than. Come on, you can do better than that. Greater than. Let's look at these scriptures. 1 John 3:20. "For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything." Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Or Psalm 135, "I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods." 1 John 4:4, "You dear children are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Or Job 33:12, "For God is greater than any human being." Isaiah 29:16, "How stupid can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you. You are only the jars he makes." Or there in Mark 1, verse 7, "John the Baptist announced, 'Someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am. So much greater, I'm not even worthy to be his slave.'" And again in John 3:31, "John the Baptist said of Jesus, 'He has come from above and is greater than anyone else. I am the earth, and my understanding is limited to the things of earth, but he has come from heaven.'" And then finally, Hebrews 1:4. This shows that God's Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is far greater than their names. You see, God is greater than our circumstances. He's greater than our disappointments. He's greater than our past. He's greater than our fear. He's greater than our hurt. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than all other gods. Our God is simply greater than. Today I want you to respond in a very specific way. And while the team's going to come and join us at the front to come to play, I'm going to lead us in prayer. But before I pray, I want you, all of us, to take just a few minutes of quiet reflection on what I've shared this morning. I want you to pray silently to God wherever you are. And I want you to name in your own heart and mind the pain, the grief, the disappointments, the anxieties, the fears that many of you know that you need to be healed from. And hand them over to God who is greater than. However, this is only the beginning, a first but important step towards healing. And I know that for a number of you, that today's service may have raised some painful memories. This is where we need support. This is where we need community. This is where we need others to come alongside and to pray with us so that we are not alone. So those of you who are physically present here, as we sing in a moment, I invite you to come down to the front, to the sides of the church. Because there are others who would like to come down and pray with you and just minister to you and to be with you so that you're not alone in your pain. And that you can start a journey of finding healing from that. For those who are watching online, please reach out to someone who can support you and to pray for you. You see, this is the opportunity to actually put into practice what it means to be a genuine faith community. That we're in this together. The individual pain we cover, we carry, the pain we carry as a church for the past. And remember that God is greater than. God is greater. Let us pray. Our God, Jehovah Rapha, thank you for being a God who heals the brokenhearted. Thank you for the healing you've done in my own life and that you've done in so many other lives in this place. Thank you for the healing which I believe you're about to do in the hearts of those who are hurting and afflicted, that are living in pain right now. Thank you for being a God who is close to the brokenhearted. Thank you for being a God who saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so, Father, we lift up our prayers here today in the name of the one who heals, by whose wounds we are healed. The one who is greatest of all, Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't be shy. There are others who want to come alongside each one of us as we be a community together.